Welcome to the Friday Fix, where we give you news,
reviews,
and interviews from the world of singlerism. An extra hit to string you out until Sunday story. And now here's your host, Dark Overlord Media's director of doom, a real girl herself, A. Kovacs.
Hello, junkies. Yes, we are still waiting for the MVP podcast to begin, but for now, I have an awesome Friday fix for you. When I was in New York on tour for the MVP tour with A. Kovacs, we got a chance to be on the Keith and the Girl show. This is one of the very first podcasts. It's a comedy podcast, and they do it day in and day out. I don't know how they do it, but we got to go to their studio in New York. We got to record the show with both Keith and the girl, and then some extra stuff after that. Show is about an hour long, and it's just we're there for the whole thing, but it's Keith and the girl doing what it is that they do. They let us participate in everything. I hope you guys enjoy it. Enjoy your Friday fix. Here we go with Scott and A on Keith and the Girl.
And it's this new thing I do where I randomly press my dick up against the window just in case Google Maps is driving by, you know? Oh, shit, we're live. Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. Very excited to be here, but I'm excited to be here every day. I think we put on a good show. Kemda, of course, is the girl. How are you today?
Hey, I'm all right. How's it going?
Some days we have guests, some days we don't, but we try to give you 100% good time fun. Today, we do have a guest. In fact, we have two. We have the great Scott Sigler. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
You know, New York Times bestselling author. Go to scottsigler.com. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Guy writes two books a day.
I mean, this. Yeah. And they're good anyway.
Yeah.
I'm still resting from an autobiography I wrote years ago. I'm breathing heavy.
And also, it took you about 10, 20 years, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I kept adding another chapter, like, ah, damn, time passed. And now I got it. Right. Because it's an autobiography, he added more. Then we broke up, so he had to amend a couple things.
Right. Oh, like, yeah.
And this person's the greatest.
And she gets downgraded from love of my life to somebody who really taught me a lot.
And actually, we owe a lot to Scott Sigler, who really is the reason that we got an agent, and mm-hmm. that's how we got our book, What Do We Do Now? Mm-hmm. And so you introduced us to your book agent, yep. which... That must have been quite the letter, because he was really jacked up about it.
So. Yeah, his name's Bird Level, and he's kind of really into the internet and people who can make their own audiences. And then when I turned him on to you guys, and he's smart enough to go out and actually look at the website and figure out how many people are on it and things that most people in publishing have no idea what's going on. He was really fired up. Yeah, he thought he could do something.
That was cool, because a lot of people are like, oh, the internet, you know what, I hardly even use my email. Stop talking to me right now. Right. Don't give me a face like the internet is like in 20 years you still can't figure your VCR type shit. You know? Right. Don't age yourself. Don't fucking, it's so annoying. You know what? I just can't. I just, you know what? No. You know, my son shows me the email thing and it, shut up.
Right. Also with us is his partner in this do-it-yourself business he has going. And it is so exciting. Scott is, this really is, it's do it yourself, and it's fun that we live in this world yeah. where you can do this, you know, where you can't, you're not at the mercy of the man, let's say.
Yeah.
Well, and also made his way through podcasting to get a book deal, and is one of the pioneers right. of podcasting as well.
Right. I kind of get to be in both worlds. I write for Crown Random House. And the next book will be out in spring of 2013
Jesus
called Pandemic.
Fall
yeah,
of
we're rolling. Fall of 2013? Fall of 2013. That's I did not know that.
It's always been the fall of 2013.
Has it? Oh, I've been saying spring for like ever. Have you been
you
laughing at me?
No, when I say behind it, you, like, you I go, fall of 2013.
This is my fault because I didn't let Keith introduce A. And with us, his publishing company, A. Kovacs.
Hi. Yes.
We talked to her before, and let me just remind people about this. Your name is A.
Yes.
B.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Exactly.
Your parents were hippies, right? And they didn't, who are they to give their child a name? Let the child make up their own name. So they fill out the birth certificate, A, B, and then last name. Well, they've earned that.
Yeah, well, I married into that, right? So I married, so I had a different last name, but same problem.
Okay, but they did give you a last name. It wasn't C.
No. No, and thankfully it was not a noun because a house or a brick or a that stink.
Oh.
That would have been real a boat. That all would have been bad.
And you decided to keep it. It's so unique. Why not?
You know, I spent a huge amount of time a huge part of my life is Amy Beth because what 13-year-old doesn't get picked on?
Right.
And I was no different. But yeah, and it's just a kind of a legal bother to change, and everybody knows me as A. So
wait, so you did you decided on
you made
Amy?
It up.
Yeah, well, AB, yeah. And right. AB sounds a lot like Amy, so it kind of, a lot of people do that anyway, so it worked out. I didn't have to get picked on.
Do you have any of that hippiness still in you?
There's not a part of me that's hippie. I'm really? Not all that creative, and I'm not creative like you guys are creative. I don't have that sort of left brain creativity.
I thought you were going to change your name to Moon Clover.
No.
Because you can name it whatever you want.
No, I could name myself whenever my mom wanted Amethyst. She really wanted Amethyst for a long time, but that didn't work out.
Well, she did the right thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Go with A.
I agree.
Well, Amethyst would have been Amy anyway, right?
It's true. Amethyst, yeah. Amethyst Buffy was her choice. I was like, are you fucking with me? I'm pretty sure you're fucking with me.
You know, you could have gone right into stripping, right out of high school.
I know, well.
There's no wait.
Or working at a jewelry store.
Hi, I'm Amethyst.
Can I buff your jewelry?
I do want to talk about all these books. I mean, he rates books so fast. He has his space football series. He has Infected, Contagious, Go to the Hospital. You know, oh my God, we're all dead. Lesions is a new one. You have his books come out faster than actual diseases spread.
That's true. That's true.
That's yes. How crazy this is. So I do want to talk about it. First, Chemda went down and saw Danny's dad over the weekend, right?
Yes.
Danny and his dad went and saw Spider-Man the Musical.
Oh, geez. Mm.
And Danny loves Spider-Man. They can't make a bad Spider-Man movie. He is so thrilled. He can
And forgiving.
And he can relate. He can understand. I'm this shy guy. And I'm trying to get him to be more Spider-Man and less Peter Parker. Okay. And it's very exciting to me to bring this out of him. He was very let down by this play. Yeah, exactly like you said. It was very lackluster. And I think it's because he was upset as Spider-Man swinging around above him. They don't lower him to give Danny a hug. And I think that's what he was hoping for. You know, for a couple of extra bucks, you should be able to do that. Like Spider-Man drops $50 and then you go, oh, it's Danny's birthday. Can you hug him? And then Spider-Man hugs him. You're my favorite citizen. Danny.
Drops down with a cake. Here right. You go. Here you go, kid.
Except, you know what? Anyone who's going to see the Spider-Man musical is, you know, very likely to be a huge comic book fan. And if you let someone hug Spider-Man, they might not let go.
That's true.
That might be a little dangerous.
I wonder if more people who are musical fans go to see Spider-Man the Musical because they've seen everything else. They're like, Spider-Man, screw it. Let's check this out.
I can't imagine. I bet it's comic book fans because really, you have to love Spider-Man a lot to think about loving a singing Spider-Man.
Did Spider-Man
even
sing?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. It's a musical. Of course he sings.
Well, I thought at least they'd keep that pristine. Maybe have some of the chicks sing a little bit or something.
Do you remember what I told you about Spider-Man?
No.
The truth about Spider-Man?
No.
If Spider-Man really was a spider, genetic somehow spider, he would his web shooters, they wouldn't be in his wrists.
Oh, that's right.
Where would they be?
They'd be in his taint.
Yeah, and his webbing wouldn't exactly be webbing. Because
you know what, A? You're so rude.
I know.
Because let me tell you something. If a spider and a man mixed, you wouldn't know where the spider webs come out because obviously it's a new hybrid of person and you can't decide that it's going to come out of his ass. Maybe it's stringing from his ass into his wrist. You don't know how it works and you don't know science. Duh.
Well, I do. I think if they're genetic, it would be one or the other, right? So it'd be either where the boy does it or where the spider does it. The spider does it from his taint, and the boy shoots only from one place, as I understand it.
Can you
so maybe
imagine?
I know a little more science.
That's what the musical's missing.
I know, that's
web shooting out Spider-Man's taints. The place would be packed every night. I gotta see this. I gotta go see this. This is gonna be fantastic.
Or in the intermission, A's commentary.
Yeah.
you know what? I think Scott's right. I think it's people that are into musicals would see this more because, you know, I see movies I would never see because there's not movies I'm into. You know, when you see the commercials for Spider-Man the Musical, these are people, you see them. It's like, it was a joy. It's like, name a comic book title. Name a comic book superhero, I will spot you Spider-Man. And they won't be able to.
There is a spider web coming out of my tail.
I like where this is going.
Tony Award-winning hit.
I'm listening.
You would think it would hurt, but it's actually pretty rad. And watch me fly with the sting hanging by my asshole. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Spider-Man's asshole, ladies and gentlemen.
To find out my other favorite citizens, check the back of your playbill.
Lauren is saying it's a trick for parents to take their kids to the theater. Mm. Yeah, that's what I need, a trick to pay an extra $70 to $100. Tricked you? Gotcha, kid. You want a soda for $10? Lauren, I mean that with a lot of love. Your birthday's coming. Happy birthday.
You taking her to Spider-Man?
The taint one.
I'm taking her to my Spider-Man.
Although Spider-Man could not possibly be worse than the worst musical I've ever seen, which was Titanic. Oh my God, was that bad?
There's a musical?
There was. And they sang.
Did it sink?
It was so bad. They had a whole song about uploading or onloading 1,500 pounds of potatoes onto the Titanic. It was terrible.
Well, how are you going to get all those potatoes on?
Well, you're going to sing your whole way up the gangplank is how you're going to do it. It was awful.
I'm waiting for Charlie Manson, the musical. I think that I could get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because his story hasn't been told properly, really. Mm-hmm. Needs singing and dancing and people randomly breaking into song.
Sure, I bet you didn't know where I got my name from. It's evil, it's great.
Do you know Charles Manson is also available to write the music?
Yeah, he's quite handy with the guitar, I'm told.
He doesn't mind. By the way, talking about your books, the other day, not too long ago, I was at a Time Warner Center. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was there before when you did a book signing. And so I'm looking for this bookstore. I know it's here. So I go up to a barista and I say, isn't there a bookstore in this, you know, big center at, where is that, Columbus Circle? And she looks at me and she says, the bookstore is in here. I'm 38, by the way, in case anybody's new to the show and they think I'm 12. She looks at me and says, there's no bookstore here. The bookstore had to go away. You see, there was a bad economy, and then I get a lesson about the economy. Yeah, is it harder and harder to find bookstores to do signings, to sell books?
Yeah, it's totally harder. Like tonight we are going to be at McGee's, uh-huh. I think. Uh-huh. McGee's at 6 o'clock in a private room, because we got to going after New York stores a little bit too late, and there's not enough of them, and they all have events booked, and it's just harder to find stores. So half of this tour isn't even bookstores. Half of it's like bars or comic book shops, things like that. And it is definitely getting harder.
Doesn't it work a lot better because they're not shushing you the whole time? Like, hey.
Well, there's trade-off because, yes, it's like last night we were at a bar restaurant venue, and that was great because we end up we take the whole take of everything we sell instead of splitting it with the bookstore, so that's great for us. But we also are driving all the way across the country because, you know, managing all that distribution of t-shirts and books and everything else would be too hard. So we got in the car in Atlanta and we're driving 4 to 6 hours a day, so we carry all of our stuff with us. That's a lot harder than it used to be. So it's kind of a trade-off.
The other benefit, though, is when I did that reading that you guys came to, like I'm on the stage, there's a really good crowd there, right. And then off to my left is the children's section, and there's some bad situations and bad things happening to bad people with bad language in my book, and it was my first experience of trying to edit on the fly, because there's like a mom with like her 5-year-old sitting there pointing to the pretty dinosaur book. And I'm talking about, you know, gutting somebody like a fucking fish. I'll slice your fucking throat, you bastard. And, oh, sorry, ma'am. I'm so sorry. No problem with that in a bar. You can do whatever the hell you want. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a lot of that DIY stuff. Yeah. And we were just in L.A. So we bring merch. But now, you know, they get you with an extra suitcase. So we actually had to work out what kind of suitcase we'll bring for our personal stuff so that the bigger bags can fit, you know, the ones that we actually had to check in, which I don't think we would have, had to be merchandise. So my bag was split half merchandise, half my actual clothes. There was another bag for merchandise, and Keith's had to be a carry-on because You don't want to get hit with the fees, and then it's not even worth it when you get there to sell your own stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And you have to be careful. Like, even as much as I said, a whole suitcase and a half, you know, is like not all the merch that we have in our merch room. So we were very selective about what we brought, and it's just weird stuff that you would have to think of that you wouldn't have to before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you, being good at, you know, you have to do this stuff yourself. You're good at social networking, I see. Yep. You have Facebook, Twitter, everything. I'm done with this. There's too many. My brother goes, hey, you know, there's a Keith and the Girl Reddit now. Mm. Yeah. Is that good? Is this bad news? Well, good. It's another social network. I'm like, I'm not, can we all just agree on two? You know, that's what I want Obama to say tonight. During the convention, he's like, you know, I'm all for freedom of choice, but as a favor, Facebook and Twitter, the end. Could sign up for my LinkedIn. What the fuck are you talking about? Google Plus, what the fuck is going on?
There's this a lot
is
going what's on.
You gotta follow each one. And who's the asshole that goes, if you want to reach me, Keith and the Girl, I'll be on Google Plus. Well, join where the fucking party is.
Yeah.
That's where the party is. If there's a party, one big house, and you're at the fucking house down the block, and you go, I'm over here, guys, if you want me part of the party, I don't think I do.
Well, I think you're not going to get Obama's help on that. He just went on Reddit, and the internet pooped itself. Like, oh, shit, Obama's on Reddit. And people were going crazy for that, but...
Is he in the not safe for work tab? Because I see a lot of gross stuff. What did he put in there?
One
of
he had like, some nipple tassels going. He had them going each way. It was pretty impressive.
He's like, watch, this guy bench presses and his asshole falls out. And I'm like, you're kind of funny.
By the way, he said the nipple tassels and he kind of mimed it a little bit. Yeah. You've done that before.
I've attempted it. I don't have the talent to get the
Wait a minute. When you were packing the car the other day, you injured your ankle and you put a Band-Aid over your ankle and you've been moaning like a baby because you don't like the hair.
I don't like the leg hairs getting pulled up. I'm not so happy with this.
So something makes me think you haven't practiced nipple tassels. Unless you don't have hair.
Well, they were like the suction cups, you know? They weren't like the real, like, let's glue those bad boys on there.
You've been moaning for 3 days about a tiny scratch on your ankle.
The social media thing is weird. Yeah. We just had a guy, we were just in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we get done and we're on our way to Washington, D.C., and we've got one guy chiming in. From Charlotte's like, why didn't you tell anybody? And then in Washington, D.C., people are like, you're coming tonight. I can't make it today. How could you not tell us? I'm like, we've got a newsletter that goes out twice a month. It was on Facebook like 5 times. It was on Google Plus. It was on LinkedIn. We tweeted it. We talked about it in the podcast. It was everywhere we could put it. And even with all these services, people still didn't get it. So there should be down to 2, and it should be mandatory. If you want to eat, you have to check your Facebook.
Exactly. I'm working on my intern Danny going house to house to say, hey, we have a new show up. It seems easier. It seems like it makes more sense.
Makes a personal connection. It's
when
nice.
One of these social sites fail, I'm secretly happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm secretly happy, you know, because yes, maybe I can use it to my advantage, but if I'm not able to, it's not my fault. You know, it's like if I'm watching a series on TV and I'm really into it, and then for whatever reason, the next episode is preempted by something. I'm kind of glad because it leaves my schedule free. Mm-hmm. And it's not my fault that I'm missing something.
How about this? How much time do you spend on social media a day?
Oh, a ton. I get
how
up,
much?
If he's doing what I would like, he spends an hour in the morning and a half an hour around lunchtime. But I bet you spend 2 hours a
probably.
Day. Probably. Unless you're deep into the writing, the 3,000 word plus a day, writing days. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of tweet in the morning and people can kind of tell. And the fascinating thing is there'll be people who will be like, what happened to Sigler? Where'd he go? Because we hear from him once in the morning and there's one tweet, one retweet, then he's gone. And he's not talking about poop and he's not talking about Chuck Norris and he's not talking about anything like that.
Or Chuck Norris's poop, which is a good day.
Yeah.
That's a good day.
And then you're done with your deadline, back to tweeting craziness.
But we're still at the point in the career where it is possible to respond to everybody who's reaching out to us, like on Facebook or Google Plus or anything like that. And that's kind of how I built the career, is paying attention when people are like, oh, I like your book. Oh, well, thank you. And people are crazy because they're like, wow, an artist actually responded to me,
right,
which is still unique to a lot of people.
Except now I believe it's becoming an expectation and I don't know where to draw the line.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know, I do try to answer like Facebook every time somebody posts or responds, but the Twitter goes to my Facebook and my personal one, not the Keith and the Girl one. So the Twitter goes to my Facebook and people are like, hey, what's up with this, that, and the next? And I'm like, well, if I retweet that, it goes to the fans, the fans following me on Twitter, and then to Facebook. And if I answer like everybody who @s me, I'm afraid people will unfollow just because it's like, really, is that what you're doing? So where the hell is the line? And why people who have my phone number should not tweet me a question?
You're right.
It's true.
Yes.
Or people who are your friends and family should not Facebook message you.
Yes.
My best friend from childhood exclusively Facebook messages me, and I can't understand it. I will text her back and be like, are you fucking kidding me, really?
Unless it's something fun. Like, sometimes I'll go on Lauren's page and go, haha, this, you know? But, like, sure. I've texted her, and I, you know, face-to-face, like, what the hell?
Yeah, I know this guy, my buddy Doug. And we've talked on the phone and, you know, text and all this. And he sends out a Twitter and says, your last show, I hear echo in the sound. And I check it, and there's no such thing. But I am paranoid for a second. And I also think, well, why did you Twitter that in public? Mm-hmm. Isn't that behind the scenes? Now people are going to hear an echo whether it's there or not. All of a sudden, yeah, if you have somebody's phone number, don't Twitter them a real question.
Not a question. I mean, Twitter @ me because it's fun and we can, you know, gain followers for each other and like, you know, promote whatever we need to promote and say fun things that maybe everyone should like, haha, look at this dumb picture of us. That's hilarious and awesome. But a genuine question, like where should we meet for dinner?
Right.
No.
The lines are just, the lines are blurring. You can't keep your personal stuff away from your business stuff, your public facing from your private. It's all out there. The biggest problem I have is, we text kind of constantly. She's in San Diego. I'm in San Francisco. But we have this app called Echo Phone on my phone, so I get all my tweets show up as an actual text message. And I will be in the middle of a conversation with A, and then if the tweet pops up and you just hit respond, like I go to respond, or the latest thing that came up was Twitter. So the phone automatically responds to Twitter. So whatever I just meant to send to her is all of a sudden out in public. And it's like, it's so crappy. I got to be very careful.
I got to start following you. That's awesome.
Well, and so far it hasn't been incredibly juicy, or there was one in pandemic, there was one kind of big spoiler, which if you knew he was talking about pandemic, you might know. And this was just recently, you might know that was related. But most of the time it's something like, sure, that's fine with me. Or, you know, something that. And people would be like, it's fine with me too. It's totally fine with me. People respond, like probably 3 or 4 people would be like, yep, me too.
You know what? That's my next text. That's my next tweet. It's fine with me.
Fine with me.
Doug is writing in, by the way. He says, I thought texting you would be annoying. Now I know better. We're buddies. Of course. We're pals. Come on. Speaking of Chuck Norris, did you hear him and his wife did this little... did this little video saying if Obama's reelected, we're going to have 1,000 years of darkness.
What?
It's going to be the end of the world. Absolutely.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Absolutely.
I mean, 4 years of darkness maybe, but not 1,000.
It was it's the mythos of Chuck Norris we like. You know, it's the mythos of Clint Eastwood that we enjoy. Don't really let him talk.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And I'll tell you what, I'm voting for Obama because I'm voting for the guy to be in charge of America that scares Chuck Norris.
That's a good point. Although I have to say, I wonder how many votes Obama got from the 18-year-old set when he Twittered that picture after Clint Eastwood talked to the empty chair.
Right.
There was that one picture of right from the back of his head in his presidential chair in the war room, and the back of the chair says president, the president of the United States, in a little brass thing. And the tweet was, this seat is definitely taken, or this seat is taken. And it was a picture of him sitting in that chair, and I was like,
it's all context, because I didn't hear about the empty chair thing.
Right.
I saw something about the Obama tweet, like, this seat is taken. I'm like, that's a little presumptuous. Right. We have a whole election thing to go through, sir. Maybe you just don't want to just, you know, eminent domain the chair or anything. Now it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe 3.5 years of darkness. I'll drop it down.
I felt a little bit bad for Clint Eastwood because it was bumbly and he's Clint Eastwood. He's Dirty Harry, for fuck's sake. And he was all...
Well, that's what they think also, that he's going to shoot this country in a better place. He is Clint Eastwood. He's a dumb actor that's told what to say.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they think he's Dirty Harry. They think he's the guy from Good, the Bad, the Ugly that can shoot your hat off your head.
It's kind of funny now that there's a couple of conservative stars getting involved in the political scope and everybody's like, what's going on with this? And it's like the whole coverage of the Democratic convention. And here's Brad Pitt. And now we're going to talk to Angelina Jolie and her thoughts on the presidency.
Her thoughts on the presidency, even though she lives in France.
Does she live in France? Yeah. Did she move out because Obama got elected?
I don't know why.
Okay, that would be cool.
She moved out because of the darkness.
Because of the 3.5 years of darkness that are pending.
It's kind of funny, though. Let me ask you this. How long have you guys been working together?
4 years.
4 years. Now, I get that our dynamic, mine and Keith's, you know, we were dating, we broke up. People question our situation all the time. How your girlfriend's dealing with it? Is it okay to be in the same room with each other? We get it questioned all the time. Do you guys not get questions? Because you sound somewhat like a married couple, as people who work closely together will. Mm-hmm. Scott, you're married. Mm-hmm. I'm
married too.
And you're married too. Mm-hmm. Is there any conflict in that regard?
Because here's the thing with other people. Sorry to cut you off, but what if you two just decide, since you work so well together, had a baby? Would that be so crazy?
When you put it on Facebook, get some followers, it'd be great.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. We don't get a lot of questions. I think if you see us together at cons and stuff, we were just at Dragon Con last weekend, and somebody asked if we were siblings. Oh. So I don't get a lot of that. But I don't know if you do.
No, we don't. I've been asked a couple times at events. It's like, oh, so is that your wife? I'm like, no. Like, so we get it a couple of times. But for the most part, A's really prominent on the website. And we talk about in the podcast. And every time we do our year in review podcast, we talk about all the books we wrote and all the miles we drove and everything. She's on that with me. So the audience is pretty familiar with it. Mostly people who come out to the shows they know what's going on.
And I think a lot of people do what you just did, where they know that the evil queen is his wife. And every once in a while, people will say, like, will meet me and say, I'm so glad to meet you, evil queen. But it doesn't happen a lot. But they know he's married.
It's a cute thing he does, a horror thing he does, the evil queen.
Yeah. Right, right. Since he's the future Dark Overlord, she's the evil queen. And she's, of course, not evil at all and fantastic. And
she's a little evil.
Well, not to me.
Well, she married you.
So they'll do that, but then they just won't know anything. They won't know the same thing about me because I don't have. I'm the director of Doom, but my husband doesn't have a
And the
presence.
Traveling together doesn't annoy the spouses.
Nope. No problems. No
My
problems.
Husband's pleased that I'm not in the house snoring, I think. To be honest, I don't know.
Well, it's such a big part of the business to go out and do this, and we're really busting our butts to make this happen, get book sales up to a certain level where things will kind of perpetuate themselves. And I think both of our spouses are just kind of pretty excited about the whole thing. Because the upside of all this is like very big, and it's a lifetime employment of being able to do exactly the thing that you want. And the downside's really, really not all that bad. So the general attitude is like, keep going. As long as we're bringing in some money, keep going for this and doing you can.
I think what you said is you're trying to gain this thing where it keeps going. And that's what it feels like here also, where you're pushing the ball, you're pushing the ball up a hill, hoping that at any moment it'll gain some momentum, get over the hump, and just start rolling and picking up momentum on its own so mm-hmm. you don't have to keep pushing it, the Facebooks and the, you know, getting the word out and things like that, and still having people going, when are you coming to my town, a day after you just left?
Yeah. Your least favorite thing.
Has Scott ever, even if it's unintentional, been inappropriate on the road? Do you ever have to share a hotel room, then he's not thinking when it comes out of the shower? Anything
no,
like that?
No. And in fact, on the Ancestor Nocturnal Tour this past April, we're gaming that as well. We, of course, game everything. So this is the East Side Tour. We did the West Side Tour earlier this year. That was for Nocturnal, which is a Random House book. This is for our
book.
What
does that mean, gaming it?
We could get more places if we could stretch Random House's money as far as we could,
okay,
which was very small. So we supplemented that, then asked all the fans. We were like, we're going to do an East Side or West Side Tour in April, an East Side Tour in September. Don't be mad if we don't come to your town in April if you're on the East Coast. Okay. And don't be mad if we don't come. So we did that. My parents, my mom and stepdad, live in Olympia, Washington, which is between the first two stops on the last tour. So I call my mom. I'm like, can you come pick us up at the airport, please? And she's a big reader, and she's a huge fan. And she comes with my stepdad, and they got the car, and they're crazy nerds. They've got like a Star Trek Enterprises numbers is their license plate, right. Stuff like that. And they're like, this is awesome. We're roadies. And we go to the tour stop right from the airport. Then we drive all the way to my mom's house in Olympia. And my mom is like, what would you like? Would you like a sandwich? There's the fridge. And then this is a silly story, but it's true. My mom has a lot of, my whole life has had a lot of, kind of she slips and falls a little bit. It's kind of just her genetic condition or whatever. So my whole life.
She's drunk?
No, she is lupus and stuff, oh, really? So okay. She's a little not always in balance. So my whole life, I have showered. When I was growing up, I would shower with her because then she would not slip in the shower less, or she'd be more steady, or she'd be more patient or whatever. I'm 41 years old. I'm with my business partner. It's 1 a.m. at my mom's house, and she's like, all right, get anything you want in the fridge, Scott. Hey, you and I should shower. Super uncomfortable because he didn't know any of that. And I was like, okay, maybe later. She's like, before I get too tired, come in the shower with me. Super uncomfortable.
I love
and
it.
He's just like slicing tomatoes with giant eyes, like, okay,
oh,
is
I
your stepdad
know.
Going to
know.
Ask me to shower with him because I don't want that.
Let's go, buddy.
That's the way we do things here.
Well, I'm the guest.
Yeah. When we traveled once, we shared a hotel room, me and Keith, and we were not together. We were with different people. And I go to go back in the hotel room, and he fucking locked, extra bolted the shit on me. And I lost my shit. I was like, you and your fucking jerk off times with your fucking, you know, Skype bullshit. Get the fuck out of here. Like, you know, I walked out of the room to make my fucking phone call. You take your dick in your hand and you go wherever the fuck or we schedule this shit because fuck that noise. This is my house now and you're sharing it and I do not need this. So pull your pants fucking back up and let's keep going.
We are never going to share a hotel room. Ever.
We haven't had that.
It's never going to happen.
Had that particular problem just yet.
Because of all that right there? I'm going to.
I don't think it was that moment. I think there were like moments leading up where I'm like, okay, that too. You're a dick in your head. Now we're crossing a fucking lake. Don't you dare lock the door on me. It's my key and we're sharing this. You have to act like it's our house.
Would you rather he left the door open and you come walking in on that? At least he was a gentleman. He locked the door.
Don't give me my options. I know my fucking options. Half of this room is paid for by me and not by your dick. So, whatever.
What do you want? Him to walk around smacking his dick on all the workers' heads?
He's pressing it against the window in case Google Maps comes by. You know, it causes all kinds of stuff.
I'm trying to do my best. By the way, getting back real quick, do you follow these conventions at all, Democrat or Republican conventions?
I do very little, very little.
Same thing to me. Yeah. But you know what? For some reason, I wanted to see this Clinton speech that was on last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's getting elected. This was I don't really follow what's going on. This was moving. See, you wonder, like, is it all politicians? They're all full of shit. But Romney has this fucking smile and this look on his face that makes my skin crawl. This thumbs up, this talking out the side of your mouth that Clinton does not have to me. I know I'm being, like, people pick on me, you know, when I talk like this, and okay, your Democratic point of view. I have no point of view. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is going on at all. But when it's so obvious to me, there's this snake that everybody's buying into. It shocks me.
It's similar to, let's say you're picking someone to help you sell something, like an agent or something like that, or you're buying something from someone, you're going to one store after another, and the salesperson just seems slimy, mm-hmm. and you're like, whatever's coming out of his mouth, although I don't understand this product on my own, I know not to trust this guy. I feel like it's the same thing. Though I don't understand politics on my own, I know not to trust this guy. And right. maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. To me, it's like you're representing this thing everywhere. Yeah. You know, if you're representing us with that face, right. Who's going to trust us?
I'm a businessman. Can I see how you run your business? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What should we vote you based on? Being a businessman. Okay. I'm a little confused, and that should be a simple thing.
Yeah, I don't follow it all that closely either, right. But I get the similar vibe from both parties, and not Obama right. so much as the people surrounding, like his spokesperson, and you know, hold on here.
Certainly, A needs the key to the car because when you are on a do-it-yourself tour.
Glad you fell before you took off.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't put enough quarters in the machine.
But the thing that bothers me the most, especially being active on the internet community, is just the blind faith in one party. Everything they do is great. And everything the other party does is, you know, is what comes out of Satan's taint. It's just, and it works both ways.
Spider webs
do come out of Satan's taint. That's right. And that's what I think what gets annoying is there's nobody, people just like, I'm just going to use common sense here and common sense here, but they believe everything they're told on either side. It's just like, what are you doing?
Right. Well, here's the problem with a two-party system, I think. Never mind you're just shortening your options. You're turning it into sports teams. Mm-hmm. And you went out of your way to go to the post office, wherever, to say, I'm on the red team or I'm on the blue team. Mm-hmm. And now you are hoping that team wins. And even if you see your team is cheating and taking pictures of the other person's playbook on the sidelines, you're going to tell yourself, everybody does that. You know, I wasn't there. You know what? You still want your team to win almost no matter what. And you let too much go. That's what it is. It's a sports game. And you look at, you know, there's not landslides anymore. And this is why.
And it's that we want our team to win. But I think the other part of that is if the other team wins, we're going to have 1,000 years of darkness. That's the general attitude of both sides.
Right.
It's not just the Republicans saying that. You know, all from the left and middle left and the Democrats, it's like, wow, this is, you know, if Romney wins, you guys are all fucked. You're all probably going to die.
Maybe it's because of the internet social networking thing. Like, I like this picture. I super like it 1,000,000%. Or maybe everyone's trying to write their great American novel. Like, and then there'll be 1,000 years of darkness. And then that's where they're going with it, because otherwise it's not interesting to them.
I just hope he didn't trademark that phrase, because that's a good book right there.
1,000 Years of Darkness.
Write 1,000 Years of Darkness. That'll be awesome.
It's a good idea.
Does that mean Obama's a vampire? Can he live that long?
You know, I don't want to start rumors.
Yeah.
I tried to say I didn't know where he was born. That became a whole fucking to-do.
Look what happened.
Just asking a question, guys. Just asking a question.
You know what? If 1,000 Years of Darkness is not taken, you have nothing to worry about. No one could write a book as fast as you.
I know people are saying, you know, well, Clinton's a good public speaker and he tricked you. But Mitt Romney is just slimy to me. I just saw a video. It's making its way around the internet. Mitt Romney runs into a veteran, you know, a war veteran, happens to be gay. Mm-hmm. And Mitt Romney's so stupid, he doesn't even see where this question's going. But he sits Mitt Romney sits down, and the guy says, you know, can I ask you a question? I just need a, if you can just a simple yes or no, but what do you think about gay veterans? And it seems like they're not getting rights that straight people do, you know, because they can't marry and everything that goes with it, but they're veterans, you know, shouldn't that hold some weight or something? He goes, I believe a marriage is between a man and, he still doesn't see where this is going. Mm-hmm. A marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's the end of that. And he goes, well, I can't believe you didn't see this coming, but I'm a gay veteran, you asshole, and this is my husband with his hand on my leg. and he says, well, you know, I think, and then then the veteran starts letting off some steam, right? Mm-hmm. And he has his, for being so offended, he kind of has his, he has his whereabouts. He keeps everything inside a little bit. And Mitt Romney has this plastered smile. And you could see his one hand gripping his, you know, the wrist of his other hand, just staying calm, like, fuck. What the fuck?
And
he just
waits.
And he goes, I respect that. But clearly, it's, you don't even think this should be up for discussion that, no, a man, I think a man, you know, that fake laugh, a marriage is a man and a between a man and a woman. And then the guy goes, all right, you know what? I learned that you really can't understand a man until you look him square in the eyes. And now I know you and I know what you're all about. And Mitt Romney goes, well, thank you. And it's just nothing but slime spilling off him. And so this, you know, his condescending attitude makes this veteran get more riled up. And he's still kind of calm, if you ask me. And he says, you know what? Good luck. You're going to need it. And so Mitt Romney shakes his hand and he goes, thank you. I am going to need it. I appreciate it. Thank you. And the guy's like, you son of a bitch. Don't you see what the fuck I'm saying? I appreciate it. This was a good dialogue and thank you. So either Mitt Romney is a complete fake or he's a retarded buffoon.
That's not many choices. That's a choice of two.
And I think that's fair. I think completely fake. But if this isn't fake, the man's retarded.
He does not handle the being on the spot in public. What is that on the spot?
But it's not. But when you say on the spot, it's not a trick. He wasn't bamboozled.
I don't know. It's like he doesn't take time to step back and think, which is, you know, and I'm not a fan of any politician, but what Obama's pretty good at a lot of times is he has long pauses because he's like, I'm going to take a couple seconds to think about this. And then he's very smart at how to phrase something in the politically perfect way.
But also,
dude's a politician, but he's just better at handling that shit.
But none of this is really coming out of their own brain. Like, they are puppets in a sense, you know, and none of this is like, oh, what's my stance on that? That's new, the gay thing. Is it new?
My stance evolved? Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, you don't have set sentences and paragraphs and things based on, I would say it's in the top five, definitely, discussions of who's going to become president.
People aren't that smart. They're not going to be able to trick you on the road. They won't be able to. I know, I would know my answer if nobody thought a gay veteran?
Holy cow.
Like, get your shit together. How do you do it? How are you able to answer questions when you go on the road, Scott? I don't know how you do it. Well, because you know the answers to this made-up world. He doesn't even know what's going on in his own thoughts. There's five fucking things. Gay marriage, the economy. Okay, two.
Yeah.
There's two fucking things. The guy can't wrap his head around it.
I don't have those kind of problems, but you get asked enough questions in public. You guys do the same thing.
Yeah.
You get pretty good at it. You even get good at somebody asks you a question. You don't know the answer. Your mouth just starts going because you know, okay, I've got 5 to 7 seconds. If I start saying this, then my brain's literally catching up in the background. And then the answer comes to me right about the time I'm supposed to say it. And you can see like Clinton was great at that. Obama's great at that. And Romney's just not.
Here's
you should
thing.
Be prepared with that, is what you're
but
saying.
But it's not a skill. I think this is what
it is a skill.
Almost offends me that people saying he's so good at it. That's just normal. That's what normal should be. This isn't this great skill where a Clinton or Obama know how to talk and they're tricking me.
You got experience as a comedian, so you've got experience, I'm sure, with hecklers, and you know, you're probably at a different level in that and being able to handle difficult questions coming at you. Day-to-day people, if you press them really hard on a question about anything, they don't know what to do. A lot of times they don't know what to do.
But this is not a day-to-day person. These are also not people who are new to politics and also not new to people asking them questions about their business, their career. It's not like people are asking us, if we were to go on a show where it's all politics, we might stumble, you know? Mm-hmm. But even still, at this point, we might be able to twist it a little bit in order to gain some kind of, you know,
we would answer questions better than Romney would if he asked me what I would do on a situation. Give me 2 seconds to think. Maybe I'll think as I talk, but I mean, you hear his head. Hey, where is my position?
Yeah, so much so that you wonder how he got into the position of even being nominated, because at that point, somebody must have asked you a question about how you feel about gay rights. Somebody must have asked you a question, what side are you on the abortion issue? Somebody must have asked you a question about the economy, and the economy is the most general one that's probably the toughest one, because you have to be a little more specific about where you're going to find employment for people and, you know, what are you going to do specifically about the economy is such a broad question. But where do you stand on marriage is very black and white, and you can have a canned answer for that would generally answer any questions on that topic. The issue here is, like, you're so not knowledgeable on the subject that you want employment on. You know, you so don't know. It's everywhere.
See, I don't think he's saying his own beliefs at this point. I think, like you mentioned earlier,
matter.
You're given the platform, and he's now saying something that he's not comfortable saying.
I agree, but we've all been with fake resumes in our hand in front of our future potential employer, right? That's what you're doing. You have your fake resume in your hand in front of the public, and you wrote down some stuff. Did you fucking memorize it? it's like the underage kid with his fake ID. All right, kid, what's your address? Did you fucking memorize it? I mean, you can't get the job unless you memorized your fake fucking resume.
I remember in my early 20s, I pulled a Mitt Romney. I give a resume. The guy goes, okay, and what was your last job? And I try to look at my resume he's holding. Well, geez.
And that's what I feels like they're doing. It's like, wow, you didn't take the time to bullshit me well. We get it. Everyone's a bullshit artist that's going to be elected to U.S. anything. Government, anything. Our governor, the city town councilman, you're all full of shit. We get it. Who memorized their resume the best? Who's going to stand up the strongest? And who's going to at least tell us something about their side so we can go, I think I'm on your side, or I think you're on my side with these issues. Your average American is dopey about politics. They don't know. And so the fact that you can't even be a good something.
But our leaders are your average people. They don't know. They don't know these things. Listen to this. Brooklyn Representative Yvette Clark was on Stephen Colbert's show. And she was messing up U.S. history. She's a Crown Heights congresswoman. She's asked what she would do if she were back in 1898 when Brooklyn surrendered its independence as a separate city. So she should know all about Brooklyn.
What a dumb question.
That's not crazy to ask, right? I would say to them, set me free, she says. And Stephen Colbert says, from what? And she says, slavery. Now, this is in 1898. Wow. Slavery was abolished in 1865. It's a fucking amendment. It's the 13th Amendment. So Stephen Colbert tries to give her a little pass and goes, huh? And you can hear, like, you know, half the audience is going to be like, you know, just changes the mood of the room. So obviously you're wrong. So she just sticks to her guns. And he goes, slavery, really? I didn't realize there was slavery in Brooklyn in 1898. And she said, I'm pretty sure there was. Keep going with it.
Can we go back to the fake resume? Because I would love to ask all of the candidates, sure. Where will you be? Where do you envision yourself 5 years from now?
Right.
What are your weak spots on the job?
Right.
And here's the thing. There's a bullshit answer for that.
There needs to be, right?
I am a potential president. In 5 years, I hope that my 4 years in the White House has made enough of a difference to put jobs in the market, to put food on tables that haven't been put. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. Yeah. What is he going to say? I hope there are enough abortions that people are finally satisfied with their uterus.
Obama's going to say in 5 years, I want to be running for my third term, because 1,000 years of darkness takes, you know, you can't just do it in 8 years. Right. It takes work.
Doesn't it take 1,000 years?
It does.
I think it takes 1,000.
You can only be president for 8 right now. So, right. But unless it's 1893, then apparently the rules were different.
Only in Brooklyn.
Only in Brooklyn.
I mean, Clinton brought up a point that I had to nod my head to when he's saying, you see the Republican convention, it's everybody has to work hard and you're on your own, go get them. And the Democrats are saying, you know what? But we're all in this together. So whether it really means something or it's just double talk, I'm like, yes, there's something about the crowd at the Democratic National Convention chanting, yes, we can, as opposed to the Republican National Convention chanting USA. And I'm the guy that yells USA. I love America. We all know it's number one. But when Mitt Romney's saying USA, it makes my skin crawl. It's like, I don't say it like that. I don't say it like these people say it.
But
it's
I'll
a visceral
tell you.
Reaction. And it, right there, the proof is in the pudding. This is rubbing me the wrong way.
But I also think that there's, like you said, we're sort of ignorant on purpose and willingly so about politics, because I'll tell you one of the things they didn't scream at the Republican National Convention, although a lot of my very liberal friends would be hard pressed to believe it, was no, she can't. They were screaming USA. They weren't saying, no, she can't, no, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't, which is the message that we believe we hear, and I think that's probably wrong too. But I also think, do you think that Clinton has it kind of easy because he's not trying to win anything?
Doesn't Clint Eastwood have it easy?
For sure, because he's not trying to win anything.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kind of fucked it up a little bit.
Oh, no, for sure. And Clinton's speech was fantastic. My point is, it's easier to take more risks when you don't have, and you know, that definitely worked well for the Democratic National Convention, and not so
but they,
good for
they
the
know that.
For
they
the
know that. David Plouffe can say all kinds of crazy crap for the Democrats, you know, like, oh, the Republicans want to kill Christmas. He can come out and say that. Right. And although he's Obama's right-hand guy, Obama hasn't said it. And it's the same thing with Clinton. Clinton can come out and go be way edgier and say things that Obama just can't say and still getting the message across.
I don't understand. That's a really good point that they could do it right. Even who's ever not doesn't have the pressure on, they could still be doing it right.
I don't understand the system that's put into place where debates say absolutely nothing, so much so that nobody wants to watch them anymore, and they're not educating us about themselves, and they're running for president. Mm-hmm. Why not run on debates where you can double talk, where you could not answer a question in 5 minutes? Why not just go, make them take a number two fucking pencil and take a test. How do you feel about this? Mm-hmm. Answer it. There are 4 to 10 answers, let's say. You take your fucking number two and we will scantron the shit out of you and then we're able to
vote. They'll never do it. The whole art is not actually giving an answer. That's the whole art of politics. Don't actually answer anything.
Although it is pretty sad that the only time it's interesting to watch a debate is when there's the potential crazy on the panel.
I can't do what they do. These adults running countries. I wouldn't be able to do what they do and pass an elementary class. Without exaggeration, you test them. This is what's so beautiful to me about it's kind of simple, but it's so beautiful about the show The Newsroom. I'm watching it. And they look at everything in hindsight, how it should be handled, you know? Don't be a news organization and pronounce Gabby Giffords dead. A doctor does that. And you're like, that is so true. Oh, my God. and so they put together this mock debate because they want to be, they want the network picked up. And, well, the debate is pretty simple. But they ask questions and the people have to answer them. They're pressed to answer these questions. Well, of course, you know, I mean, they can't change history, so they can't let, you know, this doesn't get, spoiler, it doesn't get, you know, picked up, of course. But you're like, you know what, that, yes, just answer my fucking question. When you try to flip-flop a little bit, I, as the moderator, ask it again. And so, you know, they don't get picked up because it's too real. And then they go to live footage, which is, that's a staple of this show, going to live footage. These people really say these dopey things, which is amazing to relive. And so it shows a Michelle Bachmann answering maybe a question not as serious. Literally the question is, who's better, Johnny Cash or Elvis? And she goes, you know what? I can't really say. And then they go to the next scene, and I'm like, that's what it's like. Give a fucking test, a number two pencil. You're allowed one bathroom break under supervision. And that is it. And that there's anything less than this is shocking.
I'm on board for this.
Right?
Of course.
Let's change the world, everybody. I just saw the movie The Campaign.
Yeah.
And some of the most funny parts are because they mimic life, you know. Mm-hmm. And one part is where one of the guys running goes to every single situation that you can go to, including absurd ones. Like, oh, you know, these, God, what was a couple of them? He's in a women's convention thing, and it's like, it's women who are the future of this company. And then he goes to, like, some, let's say, a gay thing, and I'm off by this. But it's the gay people who will da-da-da. Finally, he goes to, like, you know, black people of chicken farm America, whatever, are going to, you know, rule the world. And there is a Barack Obama video on YouTube where he just goes from place to place literally saying, right, it's you guys that are going to, you know, I don't know if it's around the world or whatever, it's you guys that are going to change the world, it's you guys that are going to change the world, and just constantly, I don't know where the video came from. It's from overseas or something. Somebody just took every time he said it in front of whoever he was in front of. It's them who's going to change the world.
Are you talking about when he went to different countries?
Different countries, yeah.
He was going to different countries and saying, you're our number one ally, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, number one ally. That's what it was. Yeah, and every country that he was at, you are our number one ally.
Wow.
And so, yeah, you would think the camp, if I didn't see that with Barack Obama, I might think like, oh, well, this is absurd. You can't just do that. Or maybe I wouldn't, because it is amazing to me that they don't know that camera is recording and could be replayed.
Right? Well, they're starting to get a better hang of that everything they say now is going on the internet and it's lasting forever and they can't do some of the same stuff. But I'm sure
everyone's an editor too.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is an editor. Oh, I just saw that on repeat. Now I'm going to Google every time. You know, it's cross-referencing like crazy. We have that in literally the palm of our hands. Mm-hmm. I can Google shit and find it and edit on my phone.
And I wonder if they are constantly under the spotlight, anybody who is, that it's more likely that they say, you know, they have one weak moment. And you hear that every once in a while where somebody
doesn't realize they're... You'd forgive a weak moment, though.
Well, and I was just about to say, you do that. You right. do, because you hear every once in a while somebody doesn't... And it might not be a politician, but somebody doesn't right. know their mic's on, and there's like, and they're like, that whoa, sucks, who's that hottie in the other room? And it's
well, watch yourself. No, watch yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yeah,
who's the hottie in the room? Oh, I can't believe I was talking to the president of Syria. Can't men just be men? No, you can't say who's the hottie in the room. Mm-hmm. I no, couldn't
but
say
you,
that.
But if it was that's all he did, you right. may forgive, like right. you said, you may be like, all right, that was a dumbass thing to do, but right. on balance, pretty good.
In all fairness, who is she?
It's funny because I'm waiting for politicians to fuck up and spend a month in rehab. You know, we're just, right, just right. following the trend of celebrities who fuck up. Like, oh, did I just grab her ass and half rape her? If there's such a fucking thing, I guess I gotta go to rehab because I can't help it.
Now, they don't have to go to rehab. All they do is wait 2 or 3 years. Like the guy who got busted for texting pictures of his junk. And that was the Democratic senator, I think, or congressman.
Yeah, Wiener.
Wiener. Yeah,
he's one to remember.
He's getting back in the race.
His Wiener's
he's
going to
get back in the race. In another 6 months, another year, everybody will be like, ah, that was before. I don't really remember it. Which Romney's changed all kinds of stuff on his stance and his platform from when he was governor. And it was like, what? Oh, he did something before? All we worry about is the lines they're being fed right now. And that's our fault. That's not their fault. They're right. trying to win the game. That's,
but the plan is, do they take another Scantron test a year later? And we compare the two answers. I think this is a great idea.
Well, something has to stick, right? Let's start with the number 2 pencil situation. If anyone asks, can I use a number 8 pencil, they're already out of the running.
Yeah.
You but know? I'm not even saying on this test, I don't want a lot of opinionated essays. I want the fact. Do you know the facts? Were there slaves in Brooklyn in the late 1800s?
Yes, but they were emancipated.
Okay. I leave room for extra... For extra,
you get one line. They were definitely free. By then, they were free.
You get a character limit.
You get one line, and then if you want to,
so you want to do this by Twitter, is what you're saying.
I don't think that would be bad if we could force Twitter right. to be honest on Twitter and not send pictures of their junk. That might be good.
By the way, what you were describing earlier, from what I remember reading in high school, that is the book Animal Farm.
Which part?
The whole thing. That's what it's based on. Is that these. They write whatever they want on the board. The next mm-hmm. day, they write something different and swear to everybody that, no, this is what you saw yesterday. And people are... I don't know how our brain works, but it is working that way. Our brain works so badly that we're like, oh, we must be wrong.
Yeah, you know? Well, you want to believe in your leaders. You want to have someone above you and in charge of you that you feel confident in who's going to handle things in a correct way.
Slash, you're also retarded.
Yeah, well, you're also retarded. There's also a ton of, you have to do a ton of work too. I'm like, okay, Obama just said something that's a complete and utter lie that totally contradicts something he said a week ago. What are you going to do about it? I think right. mostly that we're jaded. We're like, politician lied again. I'm going to go to get some Twinkies. You know, it's like...
And a Starbucks.
There's only so much you can do about it and the people who really dedicate their lives to changing things get involved in one of the parties and kind of go down, they wind up going down the same channel or the same chute and become the same people that they're trying to change. Because you can't move up unless you're one of those people. You can't win.
Going back real quick to Animal Farm, I don't think I got the point. Because to me, I would just be amazed animals could write on a board where I'd be like, well, what the fuck do I know then? Well, my whole world's upside down.
Well, there were pigs wearing pants, which was kick-ass.
And there's that book where the
Charlotte's
spider...
Web.
Thank you very much. A spider writes in her web. Well, she does not use her... I don't know what she uses.
That's taint writing. It's like sky writing, but with a taint.
I don't think she has that, does she? Does Charlotte have that?
She's a lady. I hope not.
Maybe Wilbur did it.
Don't get me started. I have this track on one of my CDs. I played it before, but it's from Can You Imagine? And you can download just the track if you don't want the whole CD. It's available, of course, at keithandthegirl.com/store, and it's called Don't Vote. And you know what? This won't happen, but in mass, I think if we all didn't vote, everything would change. You're just brainwashed to vote. It's the least you can do and act like you give a fuck about the country, so you do it. And you're putting a check mark next to one of these lesser of the two evils. Everybody will say that. Mm-hmm. Are you happy with these two? No. But what can I do? Quit giving them a pat on the back. If you don't like, you don't think I should run the country, and you don't think the other guys should run the country, don't give one of us cake. You don't have to.
I wonder what would really happen if nobody was elected.
People, I say this.
I mean,
in
there has to be rules.
I say this in the CD, but I think people would start. If nobody voted or such a minimum amount, people would start really doing things that we wanted. Then we come out and vote, and then somebody else would do something better. Then they would go, "Holy shit, we really got." Then you have competition, which I say that's what this country was ironically founded on.
So should we American Idol the presidency? I mean, you know, they don't have to sing, but
But that's the primary process. That primary process is American Idoling the president.
As long as I don't have to, I don't get to call in 10 times and email in 10 times. One time. How can you vote for something if you want this guy to go to the next level? Vote 10 times. I'm watching America's Got Talent. Fuck Tom Carter. I'm getting angry and angry at this fucking son of a bitch. He comes out the other day and he goes, "Hey, you know what? I come out here. I do my stand-up." I mean, this guy I'm talking about, he's a stand-up comic on America's Got Talent. Everybody's praising how good he is. It's beyond generic, you know, jokes from the 1700s. It's horrible. And it's offending me that this guy's being moved on, that Howard Stern, a hero of mine, is giving him a standing ovation. I'm like, "You're paid off, you piece of shit. There's no fucking way." So anyway, Tom Carter comes out and says, "You know what? Usually I just do my act. I'm going to let you pick my act. Howie Mandel, from this board behind me
that I'm not looking at, ooh,
that I'm not looking at, tell me what I should joke about." And there's eight things: college, politically incorrect, this and that. And Howie goes, "Howie Mandel, I've never been to college. Let's do college." So he tells his college material. Mm-hmm. Howie Mandel was a comic. You know, maybe I'm using that word loosely, but he was. Mm-hmm. Him and Howard Stern are falling off the back of their chair. They can't believe how amazing this is. He has eight fucking things memorized, you fucking idiot. They couldn't believe it. How did you just do that? I told you what to talk about. I'm like, are you a fucking moron?
And they had a list. Right,
they had
there.
Pick one of these, so he's going to know all eight things, you idiot.
For those who still don't know, that's a set list.
Yeah,
right. It's a set list. He should be able to have eight fucking topics. Here's one CD in front of me. Can you imagine? I have 11 things you can bring up. That's one fucking CD.
That's like Keith has notes in front of him about what topic we're going to go to next. It's like me going, "Keith, I'm going to throw something at
you." Right, anything.
And I pick a thing from his notes.
I'll tell you the choices. The choices are a new LA show, funny names people give their IPs, or Ben and Jerry porn. Whatever you guys want. What do you want to talk about?
Yes.
Ben and Jerry porn.
Ben and Jerry porn. Well, I find this interesting. Ben and Jerry porn. Somebody started making videos based on Ben and Jerry porn.
Whoa, this is so random.
How does he roll on this?
And how is he just going right from there after Scott said it?
You know how it says, they say, what is it, Vermont's finest on top? Well, they say porno's finest, Ben and Cherries.
Ooh.
And they take these titles of ice cream and they switch it up so it has a porn title to it. Mm-hmm. So it's disgusting. I'll give you some examples. There's Boston Cream Pie. They changed it to Boston Cream Thighs.
Really? Because pie is a porn word.
Yeah.
Cream pie, aren't you already done?
It's a thing, right? You think you're done there.
Yeah, they should have said the boss's cream pie.
Yeah. That's better.
So you're going to be in charge of both musicals and naming ice cream.
Let me tell you that was on the fly. Look in front of me. I do not have notes.
You don't have any notes.
How does she do this?
Well, I have a cream pie.
Oh my God. So it's like topical and personalized at the same time. I don't know. I'm confused by this.
Made me blush a little
bit. There's got to be some black magic in this.
Are
you part of the Thousand Years of Darkness?
There are 10 titles in the so-called Ben and Cherry series. Here's some other examples. They have Cherry Garcia, you know, very popular. Harry Garcia.
That does not sound tasty.
Doesn't sound that good, right?
Shaved Garcia. I would rather have shaved Garcia.
Speaking of Stephen Colbert, he has a flavor. It was Americone cream.
Oh. Mm.
So they had to change it.
What?
To Americone. Oh, I'm sorry. His is Americone dream. They changed it to Americone cream. Either way, though.
That's so dumb.
Either way. Yeah, like they're trying real hard.
You know what? These are already puns, right?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
No, but
Ben and Jerry's names are already puns.
Yeah. Always, yeah.
Yeah.
Peanut butter cups changed to peanut butter D cup.
Okay, that one.
Okay, that one's good. That one works.
Here's some. They say we are not able to put in a family newspaper. However, we'll tell you the originals. By the way, in this family newspaper, It's the cover of the porn magazine. They blur out the tits a little bit, but I could still jerk off to that.
But are those Harry Garcias or are those shaved Garcias?
But if you are jerking off to that, you better leave the door unlocked.
No, no kidding. Don't get me started. I'm just human. Here's some flavors that were changed. Coconut 7-layer bar. So I guess like cock and nuts 7-layer bar maybe? I mean, they're not clever. Banana
7-layer whore?
Banana split. I'm going to assume banana shit.
Is anyone else getting horny? I mean, this is just...
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you're losing all your money for?
Wait a minute. But again, banana split, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is a banana split a thing?
Yeah, it just sounds painful, though, really.
It does a little bit, yeah.
I have a banana. I'm going to split it.
I have a split? Come on, man. Yeah. It's not that hard.
According to Ben & Jerry's, they're suing because this hardcore and exploitive porn is likely to cause confusion in the minds of consumers.
Oh, but Ben and Jerry got sued for some of their titles, too.
Yeah?
I can't remember what titles they were, but they came up with some fun title, and somebody sued them for that.
I mean, just say, look, this is Ben and Jerry's. This is Ben and Cherry's. We're suing. You got to say people are going to get confused? That's good to know. If I come home with a porn and my fiance goes, what is this, Ben and Cherry's? You're like, I thought I was getting you ice cream. Why'd you hide it under your mattress?
But you know what? Now that it's here, do you want to try it? Sometimes you try new things, you like it.
I still can't believe he came up with all this stuff just now, just like that.
Amazing. It's true. It's a skill. I've been doing this 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I did my time on the road. Let me mention this, please. Keith and the Girl, Live in L.A. is now available. Live in L.A. 2012. Nice. People commenting, I really, really enjoyed this live show. I bought the video and I've watched it twice through. I thought Hemda in particular was at the top of her game, and she really drove the show well. With her,
watch me at the top of my game.
She's doing a musical thing again. Ooh, ooh. I don't know how she does this.
Her infectious smile, her enthusiasm, and her comedy. Jesse Joyce was another standout for me, but he's one of my favorites, so he's always going to stand out. So fuck him. Michael Khalili, too, was thoroughly entertaining, a great show all around. Here's another one. This was the first Keith and the Girl live show I've heard. And I got to say, it was awesome. I was blown away by how quick-witted all the guests were on this one. Mike Kaplan and Jesse Joyce in particular were brilliant. Jesse's story at the end was hilarious. I don't understand how one person can have so many cool stories.
Well, you can watch the trailer. It's in our store, keithandthegirl.com/store.
It's in your feed.
It's in your feed. It's in the store. Check it out. You'll see a little bit of the hilarity. And if you go to the store and you don't have the direct link, just click on that LA video and it'll take you right there.
There you go.
That LA picture, sorry.
Very proud of it. Make sure you check it out. And just so you know, by the way, that I really do have the skill. If you did pick funny IP names, these are some things that I noticed when I'd be out and about on the streets and it pops up, you know, do you want to connect to, you know, somebody's IP? This one, it hurts when I IP. And another one I saw, FBI surveillance van number 5.
I love that one.
That one's very funny.
I name mine Virus.
Yeah.
And I think it wards people off. I don't think they want to try to break into something called Virus. In fact,
I'm going to do that.
I have my Xbox and it's trying to connect and it says connecting to Virus and I forgot. I'm like, oh, fuck. Unplug. I like it. Everybody's scared of a virus.
Yeah.
You just need some Cherry Garcia names right for that thing.
Mine one at home is Osama Bin Online. What's yours?
Mine's just named after my dog. It's nothing fancy.
Otherwise,
I'd forget.
Ours is Rainbow Coalition because we know our neighbor, and that was his fucking bullshit at us while we were walking. He's like, oh, now we're the Rainbow Coalition. I'm like, go fuck yourself. So if he wants to take our internet, he has to go through the Rainbow Coalition.
That's funny. You know what? I would name my, I'd find out his name, say it's Johnny, and I'd call it, I'm going to kill you, Johnny.
Log on and die, Johnny. That's okay. Now yeah. I got two more books to write today.
Damn it!
The fuck you should. You're blowing
Wait,
my schedule to hell.
Is the first one Cherry Garcia?
No, the first one is A Thousand Years of Darkness.
Good. Oh,
I don't
right,
know if
right,
you were
right,
here
right,
for that
right,
one
right.
or not.
Yeah,
but
people asking about the Keith and the Girl app for the iPhone. It'll be available soon. For information on the Android, check keithandthegirl.com/forums. Also, we're looking for new interns. Rate info@katg.com. Whatever you rate on your resume, you should have it memorized.
Also, we're on Reddit. Speaking of social networks, please. We're on Reddit, and our subreddit is Keith and the Girl, but you could also go to keithandthegirl.com/reddit. And to go back really quick for the LA video, for those of you who are VIPs, the video and audio form are both free for you. You could take one or both. The personal code is in your dashboard, so just log into your VIP account. You'll get that code. type it in when you're trying to check out of the store, and it'll go to zero. You can download it for free.
There you have it. Let me mention this. Please go to scottsigler.com. I like him. Kemda likes him. You like him, let's be honest. Who we bullshitting?
I'm pretty sure A likes him, too.
I like him.
I think everybody likes this guy. I don't mind saying he's taking the piss of his life right now. So I'm not embarrassed. But it's absolutely true. And he has these new books he wants you to pick up. The Rookie.
In paperback.
That is Galactic Football League Book 1.
Mm-hmm.
Start with The Rookie. You know what's going on.
Actually, A is officially the spokesperson, right?
This is true.
And The Starter. That is Galactic Football League Book 2. Just in time, by the way, for real football coming out.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Do you guys have fantasy leagues with these guys?
We don't. We get a lot of requests for that, but Scott would never, like, between that and social media, he'd never work again.
Right, right.
So we don't. We haven't done that. We should, though. We do have a handful of people who name their teams after our teams.
Right. Well, Danny can't quit talking about your stuff. He likes sci-fi. He adores you. I mean, I don't know if you saw Scott when... how he was gushing when he was saying hello to you.
He was.
People love Scott Sigler. People love his work. And they do. You're over there. Pick them all up. Infected, The Rookie, Contagious. Why are you fucking around?
Don't forget to use code KTG and you get a discount.
Yeah.
And then we make some money.
ScottSigler.com/store and then use the KTG, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
By the way, easy. Writing in tech at work, Wi-Fi name, apartment 1103, we can hear you having sex.
There you have it.
I love it.
But Scott's a great guy. Support him. Support these two. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you
guys. And that is it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.
You have been listening to The Friday Fix, hosted by A. Kovacs, produced by the A-Team of A. Kovacs and Ariok Morningstar. Content in this podcast is copyright of Dark Overlord Media and might just kick you in the nuts when you're not looking. For more information on author Scott Sigler and for free weekly audio fiction, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song City of Angels, by The Distillers, off the album Sing Sing Death House.